James chapter 3 is where we are as we're making our way through this amazing New Testament book. And this week, as we begin, I want to ask a question. My question for you is, out of all the muscles in your body, what do you think is the strongest muscle of them all? I mean, is it biceps, or are we thinking it's the calf muscle? You know, what do you think out of all? Is it triceps? Some guys are like, no, it's my traps. I've got traps for days, right? They actually call traps the new abs, because if you're wearing a t-shirt, you can't see your abs, but I can see your traps if you got them. What do you think? What do you think? James is going to tell us that the strongest muscle that you need to be concerned about in your entire body is, in fact, the one you keep in your mouth, your tongue. Your tongue, James says, and the message I'm going to give you now is the muscle that can move mountains. The muscle that can move mountains. Your biceps can't do that, but your tongue can, in fact, move mountains. James says in chapter 3, verse 3, a bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. Incredible. Think about that image. A bit in the mouth of a horse moves the whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of the strongest winds. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. This is scary. It's like you can tame a tiger, I guess, theoretically, technically, but you can't tame a tongue. It's never been done. The tongue runs wild, a wanton killer. With our tongues, we bless God, our Father. With the same tongues, we curse the very men and women he made in his image. Curses and blessings out of the same mouth. This can't go on. A spring doesn't gush fresh water on one day and brackish the next, does it? Apple trees don't bear strawberries, do they? Raspberries, their bushes don't bear apples, do they? You're not going to dip into a polluted mud hole and get a cup of clear, cool water, are you? And when we talk about this, the strongest muscle in our body, we technically can't be talking about the tongue on a pure physiological sense, because the tongue is not one muscle. It's actually, this is crazy, 8. Your tongue is 8 muscles. 4 of them are in the back, and they anchor to your jaw and your throat, and they anchor to your, you know, to everything back there. And then this is the kind of a creepy part. The other 4 are intertwined into a matrix of muscles that are actually more similar to an octopus tentacle or an elephant's nose than any other muscle in your body, because the muscles of your tongue actually aren't adhered to a bone, unlike any other muscle that connects your to your bone, so it can leverage against that and move and create strength, sort of a fulcrum, as it were, a lever. Your tongue muscles, these four that are anchored in the back, and then these four that go out into the front, they're able to do everything they're able to do because they're not connected to anything rigidly. And that's why you can make different shapes that you can with your tongue. Some people can make a taco with their tongue. Some people can't. Some people can touch their nose with their tongue. Can you do that? But the tongue muscles are incredible. And it takes those eight muscles that form your tongue and the help of 64 other muscles to produce human speech. In all, every single time you talk, that is the cooperation of 72 different muscles that forms human speech. And so these individual muscles, none of them are very big. None of them you really even know the names of. But these muscles, in fact, that form the tongue do have the strongest impact on your life, more so than any other muscle. And even on a medical sense, it's true that every time you and I go to the doctor, what do they ask you to do? Stick out your tongue. Right? Stick out your tongue. Why do they want to get in there? Well, here's what they know that you need to know. When something's gone wrong in your body, it can be seen on the surface of the tongue. When things aren't going right with the tongue, it speaks of something not going right inside your body. And the same is true on every level. Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." What's the author of Proverbs saying? He's saying that there can be great life or there can be great death going on. What's in your body that's alive or dead? What's inside of you that's doing well or not doing well will be made evident by what's going on through your tongue. Life or death. Great power to create, great power to destroy us. That's one of the first of our takeaway truths, is that there's great potency to your tongue. James wants you to understand this, that your tongue is potent, it's powerful. And that's why he uses all these illustrations of little stuff that makes a big difference. That massive ship, these massive things, guess what? A relatively small rudder is what steers them. Massive ship, tiny little rudder is able to turn that big. A giant horse, a massive horse. But you think about it, just that little bit that's able to control the horse's movement. He's saying your tongue is the exact same way. Now, how this works is because of the strongest muscle in your body. All right? And I want to give you the answer, because I asked you the question, right, to take a guess at it. The actual strongest muscle in your body, by way of just brute force impact, is your quads and your glutes. The quadriceps and the glutes pound for pound, there's your greatest strength in the entire body. But when you think about effort and endurance, the strongest muscle in your body is your heart. And that's because your heart doesn't ever get a break. I mean, it's only resting in between beats, which if your heart rate is 60 to 80 or 100, that's not a very good rest. And so 24/7, your entire life, your heart has continued beating. So I would say in that sense, the strongest muscle in your body is actually your heart. And that's what Jesus said. Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 34, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So this takes away the, "Well, I have good intentions," or "You don't know my heart," because we actually do know your heart. Your heart is on display every single time you open up your mouth. So the strongest muscle in your body is, in fact, your heart. And your heart is made visible through the contents of the words that come out of you. The text messages that you send, the emails, the jokes that you tell, the words that you speak, good or evil, are coming out of your mouth, showing off the contents of your heart. And so what that means to you and me is that every single time we talk, we have a choice. Every single time we send a message, we send an email, we have the option to either build or tear down, to create something or to destroy something. And what that also means then is if you want to change the direction of your life, all you need to do is change the declaration of your mouth. If you want to change your world, and many of you do, you're like, "I want to grow closer to God. Want this to change. I want this to change." If you want to change your world, you just need to change your words. And that's what James is saying. It's your rudder. It's the thing steering you. It's the bit in the horse's mouth. If you can get in control of your words, you can become the master of your entire life. There's a potency to your words. And then secondly, I want you to understand there's a responsibility to being able to speak. There's a heaviness. It's a responsibility to talk. Now, that's true of what I'm doing right now. And in fact, if you back up to the beginning of the chapter, James says exactly that. He says, hey, don't be in a hurry, or don't be, many of you, presuming to become teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Now, this again seems heavy. But we know from the whole entire teaching on the New Testament, it's also an honor to teach. It's also a joy to teach. It's a privilege to teach. And that's why Paul said, man, if you desire to be a pastor one day, if you desire to teach, you're desiring a good thing. This is a heavy thing. I'm going to stand accountable to God for the words that I speak. I don't want to misrepresent what God's word is saying. Now, that's true in that sense, the strict sense, like he's saying, of being a pastor. Guess what, though? It's also true of any measure of influence you have. Do you understand that? Or do you maybe, because you don't have a show on YouTube or you don't have a pulpit, so to speak, do you not understand that you also have a responsibility? Because every single one of us has influence. Every single one of us have people who are listening to us. And that also is a tremendous responsibility. And just like I wouldn't just roll up here not having studied and be like, I don't know, let's just see what we're going to do today. That's heavy. You should also see it's heavy that the kids in your home are listening to how you speak, to how you talk to their mother or father, how you talk about your boss, how you talk about elected officials, police cars, and even just, I think, something so small as like you would have your kids lie about their age to get a $3 discount on a kid's meal. It's like, what is your integrity worth? The $3 for those chicken strips? Pay full price for the chicken strips and let your kids see you speaking out that authority matters and doing the right thing matters. Let me tell you, it's a responsibility to have influence. You just have no idea about the impact you can make. But I just think we just never have any idea when we're going to speak. And we choose to bless instead of to tear down, what that's going to do to those who are listening. Who is listening to you that you're not considering? It's a responsibility to speak. And we should all take that to heart. So, what's our goal? Our goal is reliability. Reliability, what does that mean? That means that people can come to expect refreshment and nourishment every time you open your mouth. That's what he said. He said you should be like a spring that's constantly flowing out good water, or an apple tree that's always got apples on. He said it shouldn't be that one time you open your mouth and it's cutting people down, and the next time you open your mouth, it's super encouragement. Now, this again brings back the hypocrisy theme that James has been sort of weaving throughout the book, where you're basically like, showing up at church, you're like, amazing God, I love you so much, like worship done, all right, now I'm back to yelling at the kids, and now back to being mean, and now back to being judgmental. He's like, that kind of a religion is worthless. It needs to be the essence of who you are. We want there to be a reliability where people count on us, that when we open up our mouths, we're speaking life out. Because a brick can either build a hospital or it can shatter a plate glass window. And our words, when we understand the weight of them, when we understand the power of them, when you understand that you can create atmosphere out of them, it will cause you to sober up and to be more intentional about how you talk. So I'm just showing you how important and how powerful these words are. And the people in your life matter too much for you to be unreliable. Speaking life one day, speaking death the next. They came and they were expecting a peach one day, but it was a thistle. They were hoping for water, but it was brackish, and it was tainted, and it was polluted, and there was death upstream. The Bible says, to him who knows to do good, but doesn't do it, to him it is sin. So the sin of your words could be the words you don't say. It could just be forgetting and neglecting or outright not choosing to take, out of pride, the opportunity to honor someone who got a promotion that maybe you wanted, or recognition that maybe you felt you deserved. But in that moment, the most life-giving thing you could do would be to say, fantastic, great job. Look for an opportunity to sing their praises to the, you know, in an authentic way or around other people. Let there just be a reliability about you. I think sometimes the reason we use our words to cut people down is because we feel small on the inside. And so we think if we can shrink everybody else down, we'll feel better. But you'll never rise cutting other people down. The way to be a big person is to always use your words to bless, to always use your words to build. It's so important. Jesus in Matthew chapter 17 had been with some of his disciples who he hadn't been with in a little bit. And when he came back to see them, they said, Jesus, we had this ministry problem we couldn't solve. There was this child. There was this situation. We kept praying. We kept trying. It didn't work. It was awful. You weren't with us. Jesus, we need your help, right? Jesus, you left us unsupervised. What was the deal? They said, Jesus, why didn't it work? And here's what he said. This is in Matthew 17. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Where there is faith in your heart, our tongue becomes the muscle that you can move mountains. And I love that because we have, you know, dynamite today and we have big earth moving vehicles today, there's cranes today, there's things that can move mountains. Like in our day, that's not undone. And in Jesus' day, that was most impossible thing you could, you know, conjure up, moving mountains. That, you know, no one can move them out. It just can't be done. So, an appropriate way to think about this today would be to say, if there's faith in your heart as you speak, impossible things can be done. What could happen if we were speaking life? What if we were using our words like a gift every time we talk? If we do that, then here's what I believe will happen. Impossible things will be done. And it's not just important for you to take this seriously when it comes to other people. It's not just tearing other people's lives down with your words that's a problem. You can also tear your own life down with your words, if you use them irresponsibly. Are you reliable at talking to your own self? And I think we all kind of know, like, I should, if I, you know, don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all, right? And so when we're talking to other people, sometimes we're on our best behavior. You know, I don't want to be that guy. I want to be encouraging. But how about when it comes to you? How do you speak to you? Ephesians 4 says, watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps, each word a gift. How are you at giving gifts to yourself when it comes to your words? Or do you always berate yourself? I know it's really easy for me to be hard on myself and, you know, I'm not doing good enough and I could be doing better. And how are you still, you know, messing with this? Or how are you still struggling with this? Like, why aren't you doing better? Why aren't you doing more? Why did you do that again? But instead, choosing to use my words as an encouraging tool on my own self. Hey, come on. Trust in God. You've got this. You today's another day. It's an amazing thing what happens when you begin speaking those words. And to even just start with gratitude and being thankful and choosing to thank God for things. And when you begin to do that, what happens is it actually begins to change the way you feel. So what's amazing about that is if you begin to use your words in a careful way, you might discover that mountains on the inside of you begin to move. That things you struggled with for a long time, that you feel like, I could never get past this. It's impossible. The muscle that can move mountains is a heart filled with love for Jesus, expressed in humility, working its way out through a tongue that's using its ability to talk, all those 72 muscles, to have gifts instead of a tear down and speak poison, you know, to have love. That's good. It's all well and good to say that, yeah, all right, so, you know, we're all going to speak well. And that's fantastic. But the last point is a reality check. James, in no uncertain terms, tells us that we have an inability to do the thing that our tongues are supposed to do. Inability, meaning we're unable, meaning like I should be more encouraging. I shouldn't tear people down. I should find people doing things right. I should thank my wife for all the things she's done instead of focusing on that one thing maybe she forgot to do. I should do that. I should do that. I should guard the way I talk. It seems easy. Just not say the stupid thing that comes to my mind. I think of it and be like, no. Like, that's the plan, right? Inability. Verse 2, what did he say? We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. Don't you love that? And he goes, that'd be great if we could be perfect in how we talk. That's not going to happen, right? Take it from the guy who made fun of Jesus, right? He says, hey, Jesus, you should totally go to Jerusalem. They'll love your little tricks there, right? If we could stop ourselves from saying the wrong thing, we'd be perfect. But none of us are going to be perfect. So, what are we to do? because he's, you know, now you're like, James, I'm mad at you. You spent like 10 verses telling me to do this thing. And then you're like, just so you know, it's impossible. Have a great week. Bye. Right? It's like, James, Jamie, what's the deal, man? Don't leave me hanging. Here's the thing. He wants you to know it is impossible. And he wants you to know that you don't have to do it on your own. You have help. You've got friends in high places. And that's why, almost tongue in cheek, he says that at its worst, verse 6, the tongue is a fire. And on its worst day, our tongues are set on fire by hell. But that's the secret. That's the key. That's the clue. If the problem is at any time we talk, if what is being said is powered by hell, then the solution is like firefighters know. It's anti. It doesn't make sense when you think about it. But one of the most powerful things that firefighting crews do is start fires. They call them controlled burns. So what do? They fight fire with fire. So if the problem is a lot of us burn stuff down, it's verbal arson with the way that we speak, because our tongues are set on fire by hell, then the solution is getting some tongues that are set on fire by heaven. And that's exactly what James has in mind. And that's exactly what Acts says happened. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Speaking in a language you've never heard before. Impossible. What did I say? The tongue can move mountains. The muscle that can move mountains. Where there is faith, nothing impossible can remain impossible in the face of what God wants to be done. So, here they were speaking and understanding languages they didn't know. Why? Because they were on fire from on high. They had tongues set on fire by heaven. And that is what's possible for you too. Words create atmosphere. So I want to speak into your living room. I want to speak into your kitchen. I want to speak to you as you ride that, you know, on your Peloton, and you've got this in one earbud and you've got Jess King in the other earbud telling you you've got this, and you're going to have a, you know, I just want to encourage you. God loves you. He sees you. He made you in His image. He has incredible plans for you. I'm telling you, your greatest days aren't behind you. There are greater things still to be done. God wants to work in your life. It's not impossible. You tried before, and it didn't work. But it's going to. It's going to be different this time. I just encourage you to trust God for the power that He wants to give you. You're not alone in this fight. The greatest mistake we can ever make is to try and do God's work without God's strength. And God has given the Holy Spirit to be the helper to help you, to give you new power. And every time you feel weak, you can ask Him, God, I need another feeling right now. I need you to feel me from on high. God, I feel like saying the worst thing. God, I feel like doing the wrong thing. I need your strength. I need your power. When you run out of strength, ask him. He'll give you new power. Created in the image of God. That phrase is used in this passage. Created in the image of God. When you speak to other people, including yourself, remember, you're speaking to someone created in the image of God. And what were we created in the image of God to do? I believe each of us were created in His image to create. Created by a creative God in order that we might create. And one of the ways that we're meant to create, in addition to work and, you know, all the other things that we do, is, I believe, to create atmosphere through the words that we speak. To create. For just as God made us by saying, let there be light, let there be division of light from darkness, all the things He spoke into creation, and then He breathed His Spirit into us. And so here we are with that same potential in our tongue. Every time we talk, it can be life or death. So make the right decision. For out of the words that you speak, you will either discover a life you love or one you loathe. It's entirely up to you.